The Army values. The warrior ethos. Coaching and therapy. This is Warrior Leadership. This is Warrior Leadership. And I'm here today with, you know, my man as always, DB the therapist, JJ Hardy the coach. And today we have an interesting topic we'll get into in a second. But how are you doing today, Derek?
I'm doing good, man. How about yourself, coach?
Man, I'm good. You know, this is awesome because, you know, we've already been talking a little bit about this course that we have, and I'm excited that we get to go into some context here to bring not all of it to light, because you're not going to be able to do everything that's outlined in the course, you know, without taking the course. But, you know, it just kind of it really shines a light on the importance of some of the cognitive behavioral therapy techniques that we talk about all the time. So I'm excited to get into this today.
Yeah. Heck, man, you know what? Excuse me. I don't know if people understand the power of reframing thoughts. It's not just some simple, just go reframe your thoughts. No, it's revolutionary, actually. And it's a muscle that you have to build over time. You know, often I'll assign, you know, my clients a thought record to be able to get to the place of reframing. And the first thing I'll hear 9 times out of 10 is, man, like basically, man, does it really take all that? Is it really? And then like I've heard, does it take all that? I'm tired. You know, all these different reasons why they can't. First of all, before you even get into the reframing, you have to know what the thought is. And so you got, in order to do that, you have to take it out of your mind and find a sheet of paper, find your phone, however you got to have to express it. And so what I find is how many people will not do this, and the very small percentage who will. And man, when I get that person who's willing to do it, man, I start getting excited. Like I'm like, and I'm hearing them like reframe, and it's just like it's a very powerful tool. And it seems as simple as it is, and we're gonna get into it and unpack it. I think it becomes extremely challenging for people to do something that's outside of their normal thought pattern. And you know, I talk about this a lot. I think people go to their default defectiveness schema instead of doing the hard work of reframing the way they think about things and the way they see themselves in this world.
You're right. And you already did the kind of an informal way of introducing our topic today. But our topic is the power of reframing and recognizing negative thought patterns, which you just got done saying. But, you know, I just wanted to simplify it that way the audience kind of knows exactly what we're talking about here. But you're right. You know, it's not easy. And honestly, it takes a partner to be able to do this. So yeah. A lot of people aren't necessarily comfortable going to a therapist all the time. Sometimes they don't even really believe in the idea of coaching. However, anybody who goes through the course that you and I put together in the very near future, it's going to be released, probably doing my first cohort at the beginning of the year, they're going to understand just with the few tools that are provided in that program, whether you want to use it as peer coaching or if you want to use it at work or whatever the case may be, they'll be able to use those tools. And it's really only ask it a few questions, but right. you can't do it once. Maybe not even twice. Right. You might have to do that over and over and over again, because in order to recognize those negative thought patterns, you got to kind of talk about the hard stuff. And right. The hard stuff doesn't come up right away. You know, that's the leadership part, right? Where you have to build the trust with whoever you're discussing these things with. But when you do, you know, the hard stuff comes out. You know, I was abused as a child, or I had a traumatic car accident, or, you know, I went through this situation that was extremely difficult and I failed. And since then I haven't really gone outside of my comfort zone, or whatever the case may be. And until you can help somebody figure that out, they're going to be stuck. That's why reframing is important, because if you say, I can't do this because I failed before, you're always going to quit when it gets to a certain discomfort level.
Right.
But if you can look at that same situation and say, man, I failed at this before, but I didn't try this. Or I failed at this before, but that was then, and I've learned a lot since then. I should try it again. Or whatever that reframe needs to be, because no 2 days are the same. You know, you and I talk about this a lot too. Every morning you wake up, you have the ability to reinvent who you are. And you know, that doesn't mean that you're not going to have just an overall shitty day. I mean, that does happen. But when it comes to, you know, what you didn't do well yesterday, why does that even matter?
Well, that's a good question.
Yes.
You know, what I love about the idea that, you know, the course is almost getting ready to launch, which is super exciting, because you think about this bridge between coaching and therapy we've talked about. When you get those first line supervisors and those managers to think as they're leading their teams, and they're thinking in the mindset of this cognitive behavioral therapy approach and this resiliency, that when they have workers who may be in therapy or may have an understanding of these tools, when they can speak the same language to each other, that's where that rapport starts to get developed. That person becomes more trusting of you. They're going to share things that they wouldn't share with you. That sometimes when people are holding stuff to themselves, and I know we're talking about reframing, but let's think about the benefits of this is, that's going to increase productivity in your organization, because if that person is holding that stuff to their chest, and they're either talking to it at the water cooler with their, you know, coworkers, there's no solution to the problem, and it's wasted time. And so when that leader can sort of jump in that foxhole with them and have a common language to speak with them, then that's just going to build that trust. And so when it comes to, like, you know, in my organization, we have something called an IDP plan, which is an individual development plan. And so when you start to speak the language and you start to understand, like, oh, when they get in this situation and I give them this certain task, let's just say it's about financial management, maybe they believe in their mind that, man, I'm not really good at managing this, and my boss is giving me this stretch assignment that's given. And so instead of that person pulling away, to your point, pulling away from that assignment, lean into it with the support of that boss, and that boss having that awareness that, okay, this is more challenging for them. Because I find far too often is that, you know, you have these people that, you know, and no shade to them, but like they have 3 and 4 different titles, and they're managing all these different, you know, these different programs, these different you know, facets of the business, and that could be overwhelming. And they're not going to, are they going to, most people, especially warriors, they're just going to keep on allowing it to pile on, pile on, pile on. And so, you know, I think it's just important to just build that relationship, man. And I think this tool allows that. It creates that space and that opportunity to speak a common language.
Well, and reframing is not necessarily just for the corporate environment or the work environment, right? You know, it works all over the place. That's why we developed the course, because it is a bridge between coaching and therapy. So not only can you use it as a tool if you're in a leadership position at work, but you can use it if you want to give all of your employees at work this course, because it's good for peer to peer as well, because it's all about understanding where people are coming from, right? In addition to that, you know, therapists, they learn this stuff a little bit when they go through training. You and I have talked about this before too, but not every therapist uses cognitive behavioral therapy in their practice. So it's one of those things where if you can find other ways to use it, this is a tool for therapists as well. In addition to that, if you take coaching, using this as a coach, and we're just calling it because it's not, they're using similar stuff, right? But there's no one that uses it this way as a coach. And so bridging the two, the cognitive behavioral therapy and goal setting and getting people to their goals using their icebergs and their negative thought patterns and reframing that so that they can accomplish things. It's not, it's mindset is good, but this is a different level to mindset. And it's really, it's for everybody to enhance what they're doing and create a better environment all the way around. So I think that reframing does have a place. And by the way, everyone that goes through the program can learn how to do it for themselves. The tools that they use for other people, it's not as effective if you're just doing it on your own. However, you know, if you have to go through if you have to go through therapy at any point, or if you have to work on yourself at any point, you can use this stuff on your own. There are coping mechanisms in here, breathing exercises, all that stuff that go along with it that really can help just about any warrior go from, you know, trauma to success just in the matter of 8 weeks that we have in this program.
Right. You know, and you know, this is really the foundation of all of this is about recognizing the thought, man. I think for me, I have a scripture, and although everyone isn't necessarily religious, this is a scripture that helps me remind me of this idea of recognizing the thought and how important it is. And it talks about taking every thought into captivity.
Oh.
And bringing it under the subjection of the word. And so, you know, for me, I have a worldview that says that taught me to take every thought into captivity before I ever even learned about reframing. And so for me, it, you know, and we talk about this a lot, coach, is like when my value set comes up against another way of thinking and then I can combine the two, you know, that becomes, I then have this idea of like balance, because I'm like, wow, like these two different, almost seemingly different ideas are actually saying the same thing. And so it was the same thing. We have this discussion about joining the military when we talk about the core values, when we talk about warrior leadership, like all the core values that we've learned, we actually already believe those things because they were already instilled in us. So for us, it was easy for us to adopt the values and live that lifestyle. So it's the same thing for me with reframing. Like when I reflect on that thought of like, I have to recognize the thought, which is why if you're a person that, and this isn't necessarily imposing that religious belief on you, but it's finding something, you have to believe that it works first. And I think that's like that's the building block of all this. If you don't believe reframing works, and that's my point, if you don't believe it, you're not going to do it. You're not going to recognize the thought, and that's where we got to start. So and I think some people are okay with like numbing and, you know, avoiding negative distorted thinking patterns and things like that might come up for them, but numbing it and avoiding it is just suppressing it, and you're guaranteeing that it's going to get worse. It's no doubt that the situation is going to get worse if you don't recognize those thoughts and then get and at least start there. So, you know, coach, talk a little bit about that, man. Like I think from your perspective, like why do you think that's such a challenge for people to just even want to recognize the thought and even sit with it?
Well, you know, I kind of grew up in this, and I know you did too. So when you are stuck,
mm-hmm.
It is easy to just stay that way. Change is difficult. Growth is difficult. And when it comes to doing both of those things, I mean, if you want to grow, you got to be uncomfortable. If you want to change, you have to be uncomfortable. And people hesitate when it comes to discomfort. And I think that understanding why they do that, first of all, everybody hesitates when it comes to discomfort. I do. You do. I mean, the president of the United States does. I mean, we're not going to get into that topic. I used the wrong person. No. but you know, everybody does. It doesn't matter if it's a billionaire or somebody who's at the bottom still making $10 an hour. Everyone hesitates when it comes to being uncomfortable and having to go and do something that they're really not sure if they want to do. So when it comes to that, you know, it is really easy to step back and say, I'm good. But you know, if you can help people get to that next level, because most people do, they want to move forward, but they're doing the easy thing. And that is just sitting back in the shadows and letting life pass them by. Anybody can do that.
Yep.
Anybody can do that.
Yep.
But we're talking about the warriors, the people that really have goals, but they're stuck.
Yep.
And so those people, when they reach a handout and they find that leader that's willing to put their hand back down and pull them out of their hole, it gets to the point where you have to talk about what is making you uncomfortable and figuring out as a team, because nobody does it by themselves, but as a team, how do you overcome that discomfort? And it's always going to be there, but what is it going to take for you to storm that hill? What is it going to take for you to push just enough through that discomfort to come out on the other side? And what happens when you do that is you learn something about yourself, and that's where growth happens.
Absolutely. Yes. My mom taught me a concept, and it's pain over pleasure. And I call it the pain over pleasure principle. And my mom, you know, has exemplified that in a lot of ways in her life. Throughout her life, I've just watched her, you know, go try to, she got in that comfort zone and you know, powered through it every time. Like she wouldn't sit in that comfort zone for too long, or in that safe place for too long, to where she's like, nah, this ain't it, this ain't me. And like, it's interesting, because I look at our life just like you would read a, like if you were looking at a company, you're looking at a stock on a chart, it's that correlation of going up that makes you say, all right, that's a winner right there. And so as humans, we don't take this straight diagonal or straight up, you know, line. We do this. And so for me, once I've understood that and said, okay, it's okay to do that. It's okay to do that because I'm human. We have to show ourselves that grace, because we're not going to always take that trajectory straight up. But one thing I love about the warrior ethos, this applies to everyone. Like when people, I see so many warriors in my life that never necessarily raised their right hand, but they live the values out. And so what we're always trying to just really present to people is that the mindset is useful when it comes to just living everyday life. So like I'm working with these athletes, these Division I athletes at Fresno State. And I just went to a networking event with them where they're getting ready to transition from college to life, right? They're no different than the soldier, sailor, marine that's leaving the military. Their whole life pretty much has been, you know, organized for them, structured for them. So they haven't had to really do much thinking. They just had to do. And so the process that they went, them sitting at a table doing an informational interview with the business owner, you know, I could tell they were nervous. They didn't know what to say. They didn't know what to think. And so it's like, it comes back to everything that you just said. It's like they're being pushed out of their comfort zone. And so the one thing that I know that none of them really wanted to do is they didn't want to think about this question that I asked, which is, so what's your next indicated step? As simple, look, Next indicated step, meaning what are you going to do tomorrow? I didn't ask you what's your big goal, what do you want to do with the rest of your life, which is the question that they're really avoiding. They're avoiding that big question of what am I going to do with my career? No. Just what are you going to do with your next indicated step? Well, you know what? I didn't think about that. And just to your point, we don't want to have, we have this gift of metacognition to think about what we're thinking about. So why sit there and why sit there and worry about negative thoughts and not be willing to, okay, let me recognize that those negative thoughts are not suiting me well. They're affecting my performance no matter what I'm doing. And let me take a step back and maybe I focus on one small thought to move towards my goal. So that way, if I take one step forward each day, then I start to build that courage and that confidence to actually move forward with those goals. But if I sit there and ignore this elephant in the room, then it's going to become overwhelming. And I think, you know, a lot of us, we do that, and you really made that. That's really a good point, and I agree with you. Is like, we just want to be comfort. We just want to be comforted, if you will. So we have to get out that comfort zone.
Yeah. Well, and you brought up the warrior ethos, and you know, I'm going to go ahead and recite those because that's something that we have, you know, in the U.S. Army. That it's one of the things that we live by. If you care about all the stuff that we have to recite on a regular basis, not everybody does, but you know, when it comes to the warrior ethos, it's part of the soldier's creed. So it's something that we have to know, at the basic level when we first go in and go through our basic individual training, our basic combat training, mm-hmm. and our advanced individual training. So that's something that we have to keep in mind through all of that. And those warrior ethos are, I will always place the mission first. I will never accept defeat. I will never quit, and I will never leave a fallen comrade. So it really takes a warrior to embody these things because they're not just trying to do well for themselves. They're trying to do well for others. And you mentioned in one of our last podcasts, actually the one that aired last week, that, you know, it's about unconditional love for those other people. You know, we're putting our lives on the line for other people, and we don't have to like them. We don't have to necessarily care about them, but we are protectors of one another. And so we have to be there for each other no matter what. But, you know, when it comes to always placing the mission first and never accepting defeat, those are the first two. The one thing that a lot of people put aside when it comes to discomfort is why they need to succeed at doing something or why they need to take that next step. And as a matter of fact, I don't even consider it.
Yeah.
So if you have a family at home and you're working paycheck to paycheck, but you have all these goals, but you put them aside because you know you have to go to work every day. Well, that discomfort of figuring out that next step is what a lot of people avoid. And I understood it back when I was there, right? But mm-hmm. now that I have moved past all of that, I understand the need to, when I get off work, do a little bit extra so that I can get to that next paid position. And now that I'm a business owner, I know that I have to push past everything that I'm doing because even though I'm making retirement, that's not going to put my kids through college. I mean, well, I have benefits that pay for that. However, you know, they still have to be housed. They still have to be fed. My daughter's probably not going to be able to afford her car insurance and all that other fun stuff. And that all goes along with it. And so right. You have to be successful at whatever you're doing. And that's waking up every day and doing the things that you don't want to do. And you're not going to do those things if you don't understand your why. My why, and I'll just go ahead and recite it because I know yours is probably very similar, but it's different, is that I struggled like hell for a lot of years, and I was able to push through that and become successful on the other side. And now I don't really have to worry about much. If I wanted to sit back and just be comfortable, I could do it. However, I am passionate about getting others to that same point because that struggle, as important it is for some people, it doesn't always have to be necessary and it's not everlasting. So I want to help people get to that next step so they don't have to worry about that.
Right. Absolutely, man. And a part of that, after we get them to recognize the thought, now we got to give them, they have to have the courage to challenge it. Challenge it. You have to challenge that thought. Is this true? And I'm going to be vulnerable right here. And because this came out in the last week of a session, and I've always known that this was in the back of my mind, is this, which is, I was working with an African-American gentleman, and for weeks, you know, he's been really not going deep and really just kind of being surface level. But at the same time, I could feel his anger, his aggression, and more importantly, his fear. I felt his fear. And so in certain situations like that, my clinical judgment tells me, all right, this man looks exactly like me. And in order to get past this barrier, I got to be vulnerable and I got to tell him one of my thoughts. And I did it and it worked. You know what? It worked so well that, you know how when you're buying real estate and you're walking in the house and you start placing your couch and your refrigerator in certain parts of the house? When in therapy or when working with people, you have that same phenomenon happen when you say something to someone and then it aligns with them and they say, man, my sister been telling me that my whole life, right? I never talked to your sister, but I know the only reason I would know that you're thinking like that is because I have the same thought pattern. And a lot of these thoughts, and I'm gonna be real with you, a lot of the thoughts specifically for some African-American males, and then even other males too, because I can make the connection between others, but the idea that the idea as an African-American male that I can only reach a certain level of success before someone steals it. And so I have to stay below a certain threshold. I'm like, wow, that thought is very real for some people. But what I've understood is that that's not just an African-American thought. That's a poverty mindset. It's a poverty mindset. And so if you have a poverty mindset, then you're not going to go above the poverty threshold. And wow, you're going to always self-sabotage the minute that, look, and I'm going to say this, man, this is very real. And this is near and dear to both of our hearts. Do you know how many veterans I've worked so hard with to walk with them through the process of getting their service connection? They go out and some of them get awarded 100% service connection, man. And then I read in the paper, veteran dies in a hotel of a drug overdose. Or I see them walking around and they're good as dead because they're scared to take that next step. And I'm talking about some of these people have got $30,000-$50,000 in back pay, man. You're talking about life-changing money. I mean, we don't want to talk about that side of it, but the reality is that it happens in our country every single day to where, and it's not just with veterans, but because it's so near and dear to our heart, I'm gonna say, I see that happen so much. And the reason, and I'm making that connection because I believe a lot of those individuals can have that poverty mindset. Like, well, I'm not good enough to make it above this amount. What am I like? And so that's why this is so important, man. And it's not just for veterans, but having that kind of mindset, you could be, and you said this earlier, you can be a successful business owner and still have a poverty mindset. And if you don't address it and you allow that to just ruminate and you're not willing to challenge it, well, guess what? You got the best job in the world making all this money. Every time that money hits your account, you're gonna make it to where you're living paycheck to paycheck again because you're not used to having an account with an emergency savings in there and investments. And so are you even deserving of investments and deserving of, you know, having wealth? And so, you know, people talk about they want it, but do you really want it or do you deserve it? Not even just do you want it, do you deserve it is the question.
And that goes back to 50 Cent saying, I'm gonna get rich or die trying. You know, I'm not about to give up on myself. I'm not about to give up on my family. I'm not about to give up on my goals, and I'm not about to give up at all, because I just don't have that in my soul. And I didn't, and actually when I transitioned from the military, I didn't feel that way at all. I wanted a lot of things, which I think a lot of people feel the same way, but I felt like, you know, I spent that entire almost two decades doing stuff that I got really, really, really good at. And then I went through all of these job interviews and I had, oh my gosh, I don't even know how many job interviews I went through, but I got that denial letter, and it made me feel like my skills were no longer relevant. And so what happened? I allowed everyone else to put a ceiling on my thinking.
Right.
And it's no different than the poverty mindset. Mm-hmm. When you're at the poverty mindset, whether you're an African American male or you're just a dad who's trying to make things work, but they don't see another way.
Right.
Or if you're a woman who feels like because you're in a man's industry that you can't move up, or whatever the case may be, it doesn't matter.
Yes.
You are listening to you're listening to this societal bullshit that's putting a ceiling, an invisible ceiling, in your mind. And what's worse about it is you're believing it.
Right.
Reframing that thought and understanding that that's not actually a real ceiling. Now you know that the sky is a limit. What the hell are you going to do about it?
What are you going to do about it? Exactly. And I love it. You know what? I love it. You know what? For me, I'm a different individual, sir. I'm going to tell you, from a very early age, I recognized and I understood that there is a thought pattern out there that tries to make me believe I'm inferior. Oh, shut up and dribble a ball. Okay. Well, guess what? How about I can go dribble a ball and run on the football field, and I can get in the intellectual conversation with you in a debate about some of the major issues that are going on in the world. How about that? And so I don't need, and this is where most people have to get, because I think this is the problem. The problem is, you said societal BS, right? So it's society's thoughts. I don't care about what society thoughts are. What are your thoughts about yourself? It's called self-esteem and self-worth. No one else can give you self-worth. It's something that you have to do internally. That's why it's called interpersonal communication, communicating with yourself. See, people give so much power to the outside. Like, I do it so well, people think that I'm arrogant sometimes, sir. I'm gonna be honest with you.
Well, like, that's just because you're motivated. You know that, and I don't believe everybody should have to do this, right? But there are certain peoples, individuals like you and myself, that we have done this, but we believe this so much because we clawed our way out from the bottom. We clawed our way out from the bottom. We kicked, we screamed, we cussed, we fought, we did all of it. And you know, at the end of it, we came out doing all right for ourselves. And, you know, people don't feel like they can do that. And let's just use I came from a very poor environment. So did you. And I know we're over 30 minutes, but we'll wrap this up in just a second, because this is important. We got to say it. When you start advancing in your career and you live in that environment, and I'm going to let you answer it, because you're going to have the same answer that I have. What is the first thing you start hearing from those other people that you're in that environment with?
Oh, that's easy. Who do you think you are? You think you're better than us?
Who do you think you are? The first thing that they feel is betrayal. Why? Because misery loves company. But damn that. Misery does not need to love company. If you really want to stay with me, then let's go. Let's catch the train to success.
Woo! What? Catch the train to success.
Yes. And that is, you know, that's why all these success books and stuff that you read, you know, some of it's BS, some of it works. There's no cookie cutter thing for everybody because everybody comes from different places. But what I will say is that if you're being held back, what do you have to push out of the way to make it so that you can advance to that next level? And whether that's that, and I hate to say it, that may be that parent. You don't disown your parents necessarily. Some people do, some people don't, but maybe that's only having enough of a relationship to maintain so that you don't have to listen to the negative crap. You move forward. They may say that you shouldn't do this, but the people that truly care about you will be proud of you when you start doing well. And if you don't let them hold you back, you're going to be good. And those are the main influences. All right. Your friends, those people that are gangbanging or selling drugs or whatever the hell they're doing, I mean, they're only going to be happy doing those things.
You're going in hot today, JJ. Oh, man,
because we could have a whole series about changing your environment.
Oh, and we're going to have to. That's going to be the signature talk. They're going to have to get us to come out in person and tell that one, honestly, because honestly, it is that fear of success. It's the fear of success. And then you don't get to put a safety net on me. And by the way, I'm going to say this. In my heart of hearts, in the true intent of my heart, has been to save those same people that are trying to hold me back. Like, if they really knew the internal workings of my thoughts and everything that I was thinking about them, and it's even beyond them. It's about providing opportunities. And my pastor talks about this all the time, being a distribution center for your community. And so it's bigger than you. It's bigger than my family system. And guess what? I'm willing to be rejected and abandoned by everybody that calls themselves my family or my friends in order to achieve that mission. Yes. We just talked about warrior ethos early. And look, it's taken me a long time to reframe that and to get to that mindset. But you about to make me say what Mike Epps repeated. Mike Epps, it was like a short little YouTube clip. He said, "Why does my success make you basically feel like a failure? Because that's not the intention of my success. I never intended to succeed so you can fail." And then he said, "So I have to fail in order for you to feel successful? I'm not doing that. I'm not willing to go backwards, back into the very thing that has destroyed 3 and 4 generations of my family. So that way 3 and 4 more generations can be destroyed because I kept touching the thing that I know is not helping us progress forward as a community." And it's deeper than just, and for me, it's not about, oh, just Black people. It's about people with the same core values as me. Those people, because far too often there are people who are very, and this is what I love about the connection that we have, which is, man, we were born on two different sides of the world and went through the same darn struggle, man. The same exact struggle from two totally different places. Yep. And to me, when I find people like that, it just reinforces that idea that as human beings, like, we have to be, I mean, that's a reframe within itself. We have to be willing to, like, think outside of the box, especially when what you just talked about, which is when you don't have that strong sense of social support within your internal network, you have to be willing to be open-minded to be able to find people with like values as you, because then you can go to that next level. Because look, because I took a big risk when I said, all right, I'm gonna leave this family system, which quote unquote is supposed to be safe, secure, because there's strength in numbers, right? They say that. But I left the numbers and reduce my numbers to find something more that's sustainable. And when I took that risk, man, I raised my right hand at 17 years old, man. I left my family at 17 years old. And honestly, I would say I didn't look back, but I did. I looked back for a moment and I got slapped on the wrist by life. And then I had to course correct, and I had to go right back into that. All right, I got to go back into grind mode and refocus my efforts. And so, like, ever since I've been on this path, man, it's like, honestly, more and more people are starting to get attracted to me and connected to me and supporting me, that random people that I don't even know, man. And it's very powerful, man, when you know you're walking that right path. And, you know, I think the real part of this, I would be lying if I said this, is like, it hurt a lot in the very beginning stages of, you know, reframing and moving forward and trying to, you know, being that successful person. But you know what? I wouldn't change it for the world, because the best is yet to come, man.
You're right. And I think that's probably why I know you still have a full time, and that's not going to be permanent for you. But that's why we both decided to become entrepreneurs, because
yes,
when you become an entrepreneur, who no longer understands you? Everybody except for the people that rise to the top as an entrepreneur themselves.
Yes.
And so now we're just going to leave it at that. I think we enjoy the discomfort at a certain point, because you know that's what makes you successful.
Enjoy the discomfort. What a reframe. That is a nice way to end this podcast. I enjoy the discomfort.
Yeah. So let's go. Let's be uncomfortable together. If you're listening to this call and you want to go to the next level, there's a therapist here and a coach, and we both care about you deeply enough to stop whatever we're doing and square you away. So yeah. Anyway, that's all we have to say for the day. Do you have any closing comments, even though we're 12 minutes past what we would normally do?
Oh, that's all right. Maybe we move the show to 45 minutes from now on then.
There you go.
Pushing the limit. I love it. You know, I'm here for it all, man. I love you just talked about it, man. Just, we're here to encourage, uplift. Don't be afraid to lean into those thoughts. And you know what? We're here if you're having a challenging time, you know, approaching those thoughts by yourself. Don't be so prideful that you feel like you got to go at this battle alone. Like, you know, in the multitude of counselors, there is peace. And so any good business owner or man or woman that's building an empire, you're not going to build an empire without counsel. And so stop listening to those lies that tell you you're weak when you go and seek counsel from someone. Me and the coach, we always tap in with each other. Matter of fact, on Sundays, we have our own little private group where we dig into these defectiveness schemas and thoughts, because we deal with those things still. And it's a lifelong battle. It'll never go away. But, you know, we learned a strategy in the military called buddy set, buddy move, and we intend to continue to use that. So fire for effect.
Love it. Well, and you know, you're right. So whether it's a coach or a therapist, whatever you're most comfortable with, just keep in mind that every king has their right hand man, and that person is their little voice to consult with when they walk out of the room. So we all deserve to have that little voice to consult with when we need it, because without it, you're just kind of living in your own head, and that's a pretty dangerous place to be.
Yes, sir.
Yes. All right. Well, that wraps this up. This was Warrior Leadership, the Power of Reframing and Recognizing Negative Thought Patterns. And just keep in mind that we have that new course. It's called Warrior Leadership Coaching Certification. And it takes all these ideals, puts them into tools and skills, and gives whoever decides to take the program the opportunity to go use those skills to do good. So keep that in mind. If you're interested, hit me up. Otherwise, I know DB is always taking clients too. So if you need to work on identifying some of those icebergs, hit up the therapist. Yeah, that's it. That wraps up this episode of Warrior Leadership. Have a good day.